Good afternoon. This meeting, June 14th, 2022, regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. Ask everybody to please stand for the invocation. And after that, the Pledge of Allegiance. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us all here today, including our families and the citizens of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding municipalities. We thank you for the calm weather we've had. We appreciate the rains that you bring us, and we appreciate the life you've given us. We ask you to please bless our men and women of uniform, protecting our country and countries around the world. We ask you in prayer to help us all make the right decisions for the betterment of our city and county. In your name we pray, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much for being here. And I want to thank all commissioners in attendance. And I will read now how the meeting is to be broken down for those guests here today and on the computer. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notice, proclamations, acknowledgements. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation of the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at that time, we ask you, if you're at home on the computer, to please use raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of the allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. If you're in the audience and wish to speak on an item, we ask that you obtain a blue card and put your name on it and what item number you wish to speak on. And that can be picked up here at the front desk. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time if needed. Therefore, it is important that you use raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item on your computer if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on the petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature on your computer. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity to come forward for a rebuttal, and then additional needed questions by the board will take place. And then finally, we, the board, will take action. Okay. Thank you. I'll go and ask for approval of the agenda.
So moved, Coles.
And we'll do a verbal vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Okay. It's approved. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments, June 14th, 2022. We had a personnel committee meeting today at 10:30, and we also postponed the finance committee that was supposed to take place today at 11 because of our personnel committee running over on time. That will be rescheduled the first of next month. And July 5th will be our regular MPC meeting at 1:30 p.m. here in Arthur Mendoza hearing room. Then we go to requested items to be removed, and I will read all these at one time, then we'll vote verbally. Items to be removed from the final agenda are item number five, special use, 2110 West Gwinnett Street. Item six, rezoning map amendment, 5659 Ageechee Road. Number seven is rezoning map amendment, Dillon Street. Item eight, rezoning map amendment, streetcar historic district boundary amendment. And that will be Bridget Liddy for the mayor and alderman of the city of Savannah. Item nine, rezoning map amendment, 6089 Ageechee Road Street. And item 10, rezoning map amendment, 925 and 1301 East President Street, as well as a portion of Tybee Depot. I need a motion.
Cole's motion to remove items five through 10.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We have a second. Excuse me, I need a second.
I'll second, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman. I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Motion passes. Now we'll go, there's no items requested to be withdrawn. We'll go to our consent agenda. Approval of the May 24, 22 briefing regular minutes. Item 12 is authorize executive director to execute contract with consultant for the dynamic flood modeling tools for optimized core MPO planning of transportation infrastructure system study. Need a motion?
Cole's motion.
Need a second?
Stevens, second.
Verbal vote, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Motion passes. Thank you. There's no old business. We'll go straight to regular business. Master plan amendment, item 13, 5500 Abercorn Street, Mr. Marcus Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
This item is a request to amend a previously approved master plan for a property located at 5500 Abercorn Street. This is the 12 Oak Shopping Center. The intent of the amendment is to provide signage guidelines specific to the development. When this master plan was approved, this version of the master plan was approved in 1993. It did not include a sign plan. So it had been operating under the base requirements of the zoning ordinance since that time. And as you all know, the zoning ordinance was updated in 2019, which is partially the reason this item is before you now. This is a copy of the master plan as it exists now. This development is different somewhat than it was when it was originally done. On our staff report, you can see the original layout on the left, which was sort of a traditional at that time horseshoe shopping center with parking in the center. This portion to the north was demolished to accommodate what would later become the Publix grocery store and an adjacent tenant space, and then a portion was removed to accommodate the additional required parking. The petitioner is here today because they're requesting to amend this plan to include a sign plan. One of the things that, as I mentioned, happened was not included in the original master plan. So right now there is an existing pylon sign along Abercorn Street with a number of the tenants located on that sign, and then each tenant space within the development is permitted to have what's known as fascia or building signage. The in-unit tenants, you can see there's a northern building and a southern building that are the in-unit tenants. The southern building currently has two building signs on the Abercorn-facing facade. Currently, the northern tenant space is not occupied, and the petitioner is intending to have that space occupied. This is a photograph of the southern building facade, which, as you can see, includes two wall-mounted fascia signs. This property has included two signs on this face since at least 2007. This is a photograph of the existing northern facade. And it's a little different now because Pier 1 Imports is no longer at this location, but the petitioners planning on re-tenanting this space with two tenants, one of which under the current regulations would be permitted a sign similar to the Pier 1 sign. The other as an interior space would not be. This is the proposed new northern facade. So where you see future tenant is the same location as this Pier 1 sign that used to exist there. So essentially what they're proposing is to have one additional sign face on the northern building. So there's really two things that the petitioner is trying to achieve here, to codify an addendum to the existing master plan for signage, and two, to allow the building sign to be viewed from Abercorn Street for the tenant space that only has building frontage internal to the shopping center. The addendum as permitted or as proposed would allow no more than two building signs on each Abercorn Street facing building facade for a total of four signs. Currently, three signs are permitted. So essentially what we're talking about is one additional sign. In review of the sign regulations in the current ordinance, the purpose statement states that the sign section is designed to provide standards that allow for comprehensive and balanced system of signs that will preserve the right of free speech and expression, optimize communication between people and their environment, and reduce visual clutter that is potentially harmful to traffic and pedestrian safety. In review of the petitioner's proposed amendment, staff finds that the proposed signs would not be inappropriate at this location. It is a substantial shopping center, and Abercorn Street in this location is a commercial corridor. So we believe it would not impair this intent by allowing one additional sign. Also, we don't believe it would set a precedent for any other shopping centers because this property is governed by a master plan and not by the base zoning requirements of the zoning ordinance. Based on that, staff is recommending approval of the amendment to the master plan with the condition that the number of permitted signs on the building facades not be variable and be essentially then limited to four should this be approved. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lotson. Is the petitioner here? Mr. Yeohan, you state the name for the record, and if you need 20 minutes, it's there.
No, sir, not at all. Harold Yellen for the petitioner, 12 Oak Shopping Center. Marcus literally covered everything that I was going to say, with the exception of one thing, which I hope will help you in your deliberation. As you can see from the master plan, and I think you're looking at the same thing I am.
Yes, sir.
You can see that when Publix came to the center, literally it created two buildings. It created a north building and it created a south building. The south building to the right, literally that wall that faces Abercorn is 84 feet wide. And that's the one that has two signs on it. The wall where we'd like to put a second sign is the north face. The north face is 151 feet wide. And just to give that some perspective, I know Mr. Coleman is an architect, so this is probably not an accurate way to do it, but the tiles are 2x2 and the carpet tiles are 2x2. So I think this room is 50 feet wide. So the wall we're talking about is three times the distance from door to door. That's what our width of wall looks like. So on a plan, it does look small, but in reality, we're asking for a second sign on what is a 150-foot wall. And consistent with staff recommendation, we do agree that one additional sign would not impair the purpose of the sign regulations. And we further, oh, and most importantly, there's a condition that we agree that this is not variable. And for the record, we do agree A second sign, once put up, will not be variable, will not be coming back and asking for a third or a fourth. We're just matching the two walls on the south building and the north building. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Any fellow commissioners have a question for staff or Mr. Yellen? Is anybody on the computer, a commissioner, has a question? Now I'll address the audience. We have one speaker has a question. Ms. Artis Wood is out on this item?
Yes.
And ma'am, you're allotted 3 minutes.
Oh, I thought I'd get 20. No. I'm Artis Wood, the chair of Scenic Chatham, which is a branch of Scenic America that deals only with the environment of our public space in this country. The zoning was passed in 2019. I recall the update of our zoning. One thing that we wanted to talk about at that time was signage, but the thought was then that's a big subject and we better move that to another time. So I look forward to the time when we can have a good long dialogue about signage. It's very important, I think. I'm not sure if we're talking about the idea being that we wanted to be viewed by from Abercorn Street, but are we talking about putting up more signs on Abercorn or just the two on the facade?
Two on the facade, ma'am.
Okay.
Not on the street.
Sounds good to me.
You okay with that?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
I'd hate to pay the rent for that sign, but that's okay. Anybody else have a question in the audience on this subject? If not, Mr. Coleman?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to accept the staff recommendation.
Cole, second.
We'll go to a vote. Mr. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Irvin? Is he there? His audio is not working. Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Jay Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Jeff Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Tom Woodwitty?
Yes.
And I'll go back to Mr. Joe Irvin. Unmute your microphone, Mr. Irvin. And Mr. Welch, yes. Motion passes. Thank you. Next item, number 14, master plan amendment, Jim Benton Court.
Mr. Chairman, this item is a request to amend the Godley Station master plan, specific to Godley Station North, which is a plan development that was approved originally in 1996 in conjunction with the rezoning of the Godley tract at that time. The petitioner is proposing to amend the land use designation of four parcels of land that are currently designated as commercial. The parcels in total are approximately 15 acres, but only a little less than six of that is upland. As we mentioned in the pre-meeting, the property is somewhat unique, as you can see in this aerial photograph, that the buildable area here is about 6 acres, as I mentioned, but the property itself does include the surrounding wetlands, which create a visual barrier from particularly Jimmy DeLoach Parkway and to a lesser degree from Benton Boulevard as it relates at least to a potential commercial use at this site. There is an existing commercial use on the frontage of the property. This is looking into Jim Benton Court from Benton Boulevard. This is a auto collision center, which I believe in this photograph was still under construction. So this property and the property across Jim Benton both have commercial land use designations which I will show you here. So this property on the south side of Jim Benton in this exhibit in red is the Collision Center. The property on the north side will remain commercial. So the petitioner's properties that are being considered today are these that are in yellow. They include these areas in green, but as I mentioned, these are wetlands and not buildable. The petitioner is proposing to change these properties from commercial to light industrial. In this aerial image, you can see the development pattern in this part of the Godley Station area. This is Benton Boulevard as it intersects with Jimmy DeLoach. There are commercial uses on the corner of Benton Boulevard and Jimmy DeLoach Parkway. There are existing convenience retail on the northeast corner and the southeast corner. And as you can see, this area also includes some major warehouse development. This exhibit really shows the buildable area in red here, the upland approximately, and then the property boundaries outlined here in purple. One of the things that is evident is that the likelihood of any sort of retail that requires a customer base does not have excellent visibility as you would typically need for a commercial use. There is a visual screen along Jimmy DeLoach Parkway that's created by the existing wetlands, and as I mentioned, to somewhat of a lesser degree along Benton Boulevard. The purpose of the requested land use designation is to allow light industrial use on these properties. It's a six lot commercial subdivision, essentially including the two commercial pieces that exist up front. Those two that abut Benton Boulevard, as I said, would remain commercial. The four rear lots are the lots that are proposed to be amended. And these lots range in size roughly between 1 and 1.7 acres of buildable area. In staff's review, we found that that lot size and configuration really suggest that under redevelopment, the scale of any sort of light industrial use would not be inconsistent with the development pattern at large. It's likely to accommodate things under that designation like flex warehouse space, service-related mechanical businesses, and contractors. The properties are, again, limited, in our opinion, by in terms of being viable for traditional retail and are consistent with the development pattern in the area. Based on these findings, we are recommending approval of the change of the land use designation from commercial to light industrial.
Thank you, sir. Is the petitioner here? Mr. Yellen, if you state your name for the record for this item, and you have 20 minutes if need be, sir.
Good, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Harold Yellen for the petitioner, Hallex. With me today is Mr. Stephen Friedman, seated behind me, who is a principal with Hallex and can answer any questions y'all may have. We agree 100% with staff recommendation for approval. This petition literally does follow a pattern that we're seeing time and time again, which permits commercial activity on the major street, but also permits some flexibility for the back lots. And once again, Mr. Lotson has virtually covered everything in my presentation. I do want to add, Marcus, how do I? Can I get to the next? Was this mine or is this yours? I had sent over a PDF. Did it not make its way? That's right. I had sent a PDF over, which apparently did not find its way to the screen. I was simply going to point out that we do sit next to Jimmy DeLoach. Warehousing is a likely use, but we're not talking about the same kind of warehouses that you see on Jimmy DeLoach. Our acreage is way too small. And also, once built, this site is virtually surrounded by buffers, not just on-site, but off-site. On-site, you can see what's labeled in green is our property and unusable because they're wetlands. But as you can see from the marsh lines, it goes on and on and on. I pulled up the 1996 North Godley original plat, and I was going to show you, but apparently I won't be able to, the original dedicated wetlands, which we cannot disturb, and then also the aerial photograph that I have, which is similar to Marcus's. I don't think I'm going to be able to get there either, Marcus. Can you just grab it? That's okay.
Click it on the top.
Won't go.
It's aerial.
There you go. There we go. We'll use this one. In fact, I'll use this. Everything that you see in gray is wetlands, and so this perhaps gives you a better idea of what's on site, what's off site. There'll be nothing anywhere near us other than what we're able to build on the backside of this property. So with that in mind, we would respectfully request approval of staff recommendation. Both Mr. Friedman and I are happy to answer any questions y'all may have. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Melder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Yellen, what's known about the traffic impact on the zoning request?
Candidly, we have not done a traffic impact analysis, nor do we usually do a TIA on a 5-acre tract. I've been before this board and city council on Jimmy DeLoach. There's a 100-acre tract over there. There's another one that's 60, 70 acres. Typically for 5 acres, there'll be an impact regardless of what we put there, whether we put single family residential, retail. But I've been told that traffic impact is nominal. Mm-hmm. There will be an impact because we'd like to develop in the back, but in terms of it being significant, the answer is there will not be a significant traffic impact.
Okay, thank you.
The acreage is just too small.
Thank you.
In fact, this is similar. Mr. Melder, I don't think you were city manager at the time. We did a very similar petition for Southern Oaks Business Center, and it was the exact situation where there was retail on Chatham Center, but all of the interior lots were just not being used and there was no use for it. And so MPC and City of Savannah actually rezoned that property, which was 9 acres interior, exactly as we're asking you to do here. And I don't recall that there was a need for a traffic impact analysis on that property either. I think the case for this property is even more compelling than Chatham Center. Chatham Center is not what I traditionally think of as being areas of warehousing. This area is, as you can see from the aerial, it's the predominant use. And unlike the other property, which sat side by side apartments and other properties, we're going to be behind 2 commercial lots on the street, and then everything else for 270 degrees will be wetlands and not usable. So I think this property presents a more compelling case for industrial use in the back, not in the front, but in the back.
Understood. But from your experience, you're anticipating a nominal traffic impact to this request?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. On a piece of property, 5 acres, we are.
Thank you.
Ms. Jarrett.
My question is right along the same lines as Mr. Meldrum's. And while 5 acres may not be a huge impact, 5 acres and 5 acres and 5 acres and 20 acres and 10 acres. Is this an area that the MPO is looking at all to look at circulation, truck traffic? And the other thing about this particular site is the potential for trucks to block Benton Boulevard, which is one of the main accesses for the neighborhood to the south.
I can't answer the first part. The second part, we are within shouting distance of the intersection of Jimmy DeLoach and Benton Boulevard. If there were to be any significant truck traffic, it goes north. It will not go south.
Understood. But if there were an accident at Jimmy DeLoach with the trucks or on Benton Boulevard, how would that impact the residents to the south?
Ms. Jarrett, if there are accidents, it affects everybody everywhere and not just here. It affects downtown and south side. I mean,
not from Benton Boulevard or Jim Benton. No, but I hear what you're saying.
But you know, if you're asking me if this is going to create traffic accidents, no, ma'am. There's nothing to suggest that it would create a traffic situation that.
It's the limited access for those residents that I'm concerned about, and the fact that we're introducing large truck traffic.
And you'll, well, directly across the street is actually a large pond, not a residential. Everything about this property suggests that it should not be anything other than residential with something in the back. Mr. Friedman, and before Mr. Friedman, his father owned this property. There have been no takers for close to 25 years. That's how long this property has not been developed, and it's been actively marketed. Only recently, they do have commercial uses for the front parcels, which makes sense and follows the pattern that we're seeing citywide. The back parcels without exposure to Benton Boulevard virtually has no use. And the only use in this area that seems to make sense, and I'm always reluctant to say warehouse because there's some really large warehouses, as you can see on this picture. Those are the large warehouses, which are our neighbors. What we're looking to do here looks nothing like that. In fact, you can even look at the pad and know that we can't come close. But we do think that following patterns and following precedent established by MPC in the city, commercial on the front, go deep into the lot for industrial and only light industrial and only smaller acreage like we have here.
I hear you. The overall area concerns me, but this in particular doesn't.
I've ridden that road many times, and I've been involved in several petitions. I can't address everything else. I can only speak to what's before you today.
Thank you.
And I think this is an appropriate petition, and we do support staff recommendation for approval.
Any further questions? Anybody in the audience wish to speak on this? Apparently not. Is there anybody on the computer world? Nope. Thank you, Mr. Yellen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Coleman?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Need a second?
Cole, second.
Thank you. We'll go to a vote. Mr. Cedric Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Jay Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Jeff Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
And Mr. Tom Woodwardy?
Yes.
And Joe Welch? Yes. Motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Yellen.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Well, folks, there's no presentations or other business. I want to, yes, ma'am.
I would at least like to quickly just answer your question, Ms. Jarrett, and that is the MPO looked at that whole area when the improvements were made on Jimmy DeLoach. You know, it's not something we would look at because of the size of those parcels. But I wanted to take this opportunity to introduce two staff members that we've got here.
Yes.
They are working with historic preservation, and they'll be doing some work also with us in transportation. Ethan Hagerman is from East Carolina. He's a recent graduate, and we're excited to have him. He's originally from Texas. And Jamie, don't get me messing your last name up. Is it Zerillo, right, who is a SCAD graduate and has been here working locally on different projects. So we're glad to have them both on the team, and I wanted to take this opportunity to introduce you to them.
Happy to have you. Welcome. Okay. We thank everybody, and everybody have a safe week, and enjoy your weekend to come. This meeting is adjourned.